Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, folks, you're listening to the number one show in Jacksonville on Monday nights, Jaguars Monday.
How do we become the number one show like in the, of any time slot for all Jacksonville?
You just keep going.
That's the goal.
You got to quit saying dumb things.
You hear Pete Prisco. There's Tony Baselli.
Word is, it might need other changes.
Yeah, folks, we've got
No, I don't think so.
We've got lots to talk about tonight, more than we could possibly get to. So here's our big three topics for the evening, and there will be more. Number one, first of all, Gus and Cecil both commented on Cecil's post-game thoughts from yesterday.
That makes no sense to me.
We'll talk about missed opportunities. Right, I know, it's just a story.
It's like no sense to me why he would say that. At 1-9.
I thought you were criticizing my top story.
No, it's a great top story.
Well, there you go.
I mean, listen, you're a pro.
Say no more, folks. Here we go.
You don't complain.
He's on top of it all. And then finally, what would I complain about? I've got Tony Baselli in my
broadcast booth from now on. Good point. Well said.
And finally, another idiot. Can you believe that somebody paid for a quarter page
ad? How much did that run?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Can you do some research, Joe? I want to know how much a quarter page ad at Times Union costs.
The Packers are starting Scott Tolzien and an undrafted journeyman from their practice squad today.
Thaddeus Lewis, right, today in Buffalo.
Today, the Titans signed John Skelton off the street to back up Ryan Fitzpatrick. And still, we have people saying, we will fill the stadium, signed the citizens of Jacksonville.
That's a lie. That's misadvertising.
It should say.
Well, what about the Camping World billboards? Did you see that more on?
Minus a few.
No.
He's got the Camping World. Right, that's a similar.
That's not our top story.
No, but his Camping World guy has similar billboards saying they'll fill the stadium if they sign him or something along those lines. I tweeted back at him. I said, look, no offense, dude, but you could fill the Tebow to Jacksonville fandom in one of your mini campers.
You think the eight people out there buy tickets? I'm sure.
No, they left. Even eight today.
They quit. They gave up.
Do you see what those people are doing to the good name of a fine young man?
He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
And they just keep.
I want to know how much a quarter page ad. We'll get to that in
a second.
We'll get to that. Don't steal my thunder. What's the top story?
Well, why is it the Baselli Foundation?
Because that's the only thing that's really making a difference here.
You know what? Okay. All right. So here you go. Our top story.
Missed opportunities
and another idiot. Let's start with you know, obviously you remember Cecil yesterday expressed his displeasure at not seeing the ball often enough as the offense struggled. Well, today Gus Bradley was asked in his postgame comments, as we all knew he would be, you know, what do you think about Cecil going in there? I mean, this is a team that's 1-9, but for most of the year, the locker room had been united, guys had stayed together, there hadn't been a lot of complaining until Cecil got the microphone put in his face in the post-game show, and here's what Gus had to say about it.
My concern would be this. If he was trying to drag other guys down with him, now I have a concern. Now, with that being said, let's not make this a habit. You know, let's not make this a habit where everybody has free rein to say those things. You know, we don't want that. So with that, I would appreciate if he would, you know, be smart about how he handles those things. But I do understand the competitiveness in him, and I understand that he had an opportunity, and he wants the ball. We want that mentality.
And so that was Gus Bradley.
Want to jump in here before we hear from Cecil?
Here comes team speak.
No, I'm not going to give you team speak. I'll give you the truth.
You'll give you team speak.
What am I going to give there, genius?
Well, you got to try and win the game. If you don't get the ball, it's what's good for the
That's
team.
That's not what I'm going to say, you idiot.
Yeah, I'm waiting for team speak.
Go ahead, play Cecil before. I mean,
all right, so Cecil.
Because this is the guy that doesn't even know what the definition of team is, right, Pete Prisco.
Now, look.
You don't. You're the most selfish individual
in the history
of the world.
I am. I agree.
This is why this show is so good. Look, one of your favorite guys, Fred Taylor, and one of your favorite guys, and one of mine, and Joe's. I mean, we're talking about a guy that always was willing to speak his mind. This is what I love about Cecil. He was asked a question. He answered it. Now, you'd like a guy to be able to calm down and think, and that's all nice and good, but I really like the fact that Cecil's a guy who's willing to speak his mind. Cecil, you know, good for him, stood in the locker room today. A lot of guys wouldn't. A lot of guys would get away from it, not be seen. He was there when the questions were asked again.
I'm not trying to start anything, nothing like that. I'm not that type of guy to
rave, you know what I mean, like a Brandon Marshall or something. I'm not that person. I just want to help my team when I'm a competitor, and that's all I'm trying to do.
So I like Cecil, and when he said it yesterday, I thought, yeah, you know, Cecil, you're going to get a little flack on this. But, you know, he's a competitor. He wants to go out there. I don't have a problem with his opinion at all.
I do have a problem with how he handled it. I do like Cecil a ton. I think he's a very good player, and I think he was emotional, and he's frustrated, and he doesn't like losing. Nobody does.
I just didn't hear any malice in that. I just heard that he was frustrated.
I don't think it's malice, but you look – come on. I mean, a couple things. He's not the first receiver to complain in this franchise wanting the ball. I mean, we had a guy who wore 87 every week.
Keenan.
If he didn't catch 10, he was mad. I mean, he was open every play.
I was going to say, I remember a time where Jimmy was in the end zone with like a 70-yard touchdown, and he's in the middle of the field.
I'm right here. Keenan was the receiver. If he caught three passes and the team won, he was happier if he caught 10 and the team lost. I don't care what he says. He'll deny.
It's hard to argue
That's the way it is.
But listen, when you're 1-9, and listen, I watched the tape, and I don't know what the calls were and what the design was, but Patrick Peterson did a pretty dang good job. And listen, I know most offensive coordinators, if Patrick Peterson's a one guy, and he's going to, unless you're Calvin Johnson or one of those top guys, I mean, listen, he did a good job
on Calvin Johnson, too, the week before.
Now, Andre Johnson,
but he made a couple catches.
Great catch, like unbelievable catches.
Yeah, but Peterson was all over him.
All over him. And so if you're Jed Fish and you got guys, Tyrann Mathieu, who's not a great cover guy at this point, he's very good safety, he's going to be a heck of a player, but you can beat him. And Gerard Powers, you can beat him all day long. I mean, that's where you're going to go. And I watched the tape. Cecil's covered a lot. I mean, yeah. And so.
And I'll say this. In defense of Cecil, when a guy is a supposed number one, because that's what he is right now, whether he is or not, when he's a supposed number one, you have to go to him at some point and take shots. When Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson and those guys are covered by a guy like Patrick Peterson or Joe Hayden, you're supposed to go to them. And I criticize Jay Gruden because he goes away from A.J. Green in those situations
sometimes. I agree with you. But now, I want to say this delicately, but Cecil's not Andre Johnson.
Correct.
Or Calvin Johnson.
Correct.
Or A.J. Green.
Correct. He is not.
Or
we know that.
Green, for that matter.
Right. We know that.
I mean.
But in this offense, he's the number one. Obviously,
it doesn't matter, Pete.
But obviously, you got to take some shots.
Now, listen, I agree. Now, listen,
you said it yesterday. You said
I said on air. I told Jed Fish after the game. Because, listen, Jed's a good friend. I'm a big Jed Fish fan. Maybe I'm biased. Maybe because he's a friend, I overlook a lot of sins. But I also tell him what I think. I said, Jed, you got to take shots down the field.
I agree.
Throw it up there. You're down 2 scores. Get pass interference. I mean throw it as far as you
can. The question.
And let Cecil go. So in that sense, I get that Cecil's frustrated. But my point is, it's the wrong time to say. Listen, I'm glad he wants the ball. Listen, I like that Keenan was wanting the ball every time, whether he was open or not. Now I laughed at it. I thought it was ridiculous half the time.
Why is it the wrong time?
Listen,
why? It's out there. Now they know. He wants the ball. He wants the ball more.
Did anyone really question that he wanted the ball, though?
But now maybe they throw the ball to him when he's covered.
Well, I'll say,
I mean, when you think about it, Tony, if he's covered by Patrick Peterson.
I want to be careful here because I like Cecil a lot, and I think he's going to – I mean, he's going to
be careful.
Really,
say what you got to say.
No, my point is if you're going to say that, you better be dang good. You better win. You better make the play. You better go win the 50-50 ball. You better make all the catches. You can't be – I mean, you have to be the man.
You know, and
that's my – listen – and I think Cecil has the ability, but are any of us ready to say he's the man?
No.
And so if you're going to make that comment, you better be the man.
Well, you can't be the man if you don't get the ball thrown to you either.
You know, Gus did have this to say about how he thought Cecil would grow from watching the tape today.
There was times where we looked to him, a couple opportunities which he had, others that he was the third read. We were looking to the right. We're going to come back to Cecil, didn't get time to get the ball off. So I think as we go through the film and he sees some of those things, it'll become clearer to him.
Hey, listen, I want Cecil to want the ball, and I want Cecil to be competitive. That's where I agree with Gus. The fact that he's competitive is good. You got to be careful, though, when you're 1-9. I just think
What could it do? What's it going to do?
Listen, I don't know. What's it going to do?
You know what you sound like?
What do I sound like?
You sound like the guy that used to coach you, that used to go into that room, meeting room to you guys every week and say, watch what you say. Don't say anything to him. Don't say anything to him.
No,
why?
What I'm saying is.
Yeah, why does it matter what he says?
What matters is you better be the guy. You better win.
Well, he thinks he's the guy.
It doesn't matter, Pete, if you think.
Well, throw him the ball once in a while. Maybe he would be the guy.
He leads the team in receptions.
Maybe he'd. But he didn't. What do you have? How many targets did he have yesterday?
Seven.
How many targets did he have?
Seven.
How many did he have in the first 3.5 quarters of that game?
One or two.
Go watch. I just watched. Have you watched the tape?
I watched the game, and I haven't watched.
Have you watched
the tape?
No. Well, Patrick Peterson
is a great player.
Yeah, he's
still got to throw some balls up to him.
Okay.
They threw some. He's not Andre Johnson, but he's got to throw some balls to him.
Whatever you say.
Obviously, the Cardinals thought enough of him to put Patrick Peterson on him. Correct.
Because Patrick Peterson plays the best receiver on the team,
no matter
who they play.
Right. What are your other options? Throw the ball up to him and try and make
a
play?
Guess what?
Or go to the other options, which are what? What are your other options?
Well, listen, before Mike Brown got hurt, he was open.
But what are the other
options? And here's the other thing.
Mike Brown got hurt, what are your other options?
I don't disagree with that. Now, listen, I agree with you in the sense of whether it's the Cecil. I don't care who it is, frankly. You have to take some shots down the field and try to make something happen. If you're going to get one-on-one, throw it up there. You got a 50-50 chance. Go make a play. And let's see what happens. Pass interference gets called a lot of times in this league. I'm just one that if you're going to be that guy who says that, you better back it up.
I agree. But, you know, you got to get balls thrown to you if you get it.
Pete, he has the most catches in the team.
Yeah, but that's not exactly saying a lot, is it?
I mean, if you got the most.
There's a lot of bad quarterback play going on, too, you know.
Well, listen, quarterback wasn't the biggest issue of that game.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
Quarterback ain't the biggest position. Wasn't the problem that game. That wasn't number one. If you're listing problems on offense, that wasn't number one.
But the quarterback is an issue in this.
Well, and it's going to be an issue. Our CopyFax face-off is next. But by the way, hey, look, timely here, that tomorrow starting at about 12:30, Cecil Shorts will take over Jaguars Twitter. And using @Jaguars and #AskAJag, Cecil will answer your question. So.
And I want to make sure everyone understands.
Start tweeting now.
He is the best receiver on this team, and they need to get the ball to him. I just think it was unique yesterday. Patrick Peterson, maybe arguably the best corner in football right now, or one of them. I mean, it wasn't a great matchup in that situation. Take a couple shots, see what happens. I agree with that part, but I just didn't know if this was the week.
But you're agreeing with what I'm saying if you think they should have taken some shots and see what happened.
Yeah, but I don't think Cecil needs to say that right after the game.
All right,
the only reason you like it is because it gives you something to write about yourself.
It's all about you. No,
it is.
And if I was Cecil Shorts, I probably would have done the same thing.
All right, folks.
Good enough.
Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Here you go. Paul Posluszny cleared to practice. Gus Bradley said today no decision on his status for Sunday. Also, Will Blackman with an AC joint in his shoulder. Bradley says he'll be monitored on Wednesday and Thursday. Josh Evans had a thumb, should be able to go Wednesday. Dwayne Gratz with a hamstring, also able to go Wednesday, they think. Roy Miller should be okay. Practice Wednesday, take his usual Thursday off. Geno Hayes. Today, the injury will be managed. The rest of the guys will all have to be watched over the course of the week. That's this week's injury report presented by Baptist Health Injury System, changing health for good. Healthcare for good on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Hold on to the phone lines, folks, because we're going to do the CopyFax face-off right now, and then we will roll through the bottom of the hour with news and come back, hit on the big three again. We've got lots to talk about this evening, so much more to come. All right, here's the disclaimer. And I asked you after the Tennessee game, and I asked you yesterday.
And I'm tired of getting asked the
question. Well, okay, but you're going to have to deal with Pete now on this one. I say this full understanding that the quarterback doesn't make that much of a difference right now when you don't have anybody that can get open.
But
I'm looking big picture.
I guess I'm the only one in this world that sees it this way because I got you, I got Logman, I got Brunell, and I got this.
Well, here you go. CopyFax face-off.
Tell me that they should start Gabbard
and
again.
And you know what? And that's the question.
And before we get going.
Not to win, though. Not because you think, well, Gabbard's going to give you the best chance to win.
Then why? Why? Well,
because they're about the same. It's not
really?
Hold on.
Before we go that way, how much time do we have here? I want to make sure we time this up right.
We'll save your little notes.
Because
I won
last week.
No,
I got proof here, Mr. Fortunato. I won.
All right, hold that, and you can do
after the
bottom of the hour.
I'll make sure I won the last copy.
No, you did.
The topic is simply whether the Jaguars benefit at all from getting Gabbert back in the game.
Benefit at all? No. Chad Henne's better. That's why he starts. Listen, Blaine Gabbert's healthy, right?
I would assume. Yeah, he's not on the injury report.
No, he's healthy.
Right.
He's been healthy for 2 weeks now.
Right.
Gus Bradley, for 2 weeks in a row, said Chad Haynes your starter. You think, let me say, just common sense, you think Gus Bradley is going to play a guy who gives him less of a chance to win football games when you're 1-9? I'm just curious. Because if you think that, you're a moron.
No. But see, here's the deal. Chad Haynes is not going to be a part of the team after this year, I don't think.
Why do you say that?
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, I mean, so?
But what, are you going to bring him back?
He's a
good teammate.
He's a very good locker room. He's good for the meeting. He's good for young guy.
Then Gabbert's
gone.
Then Gabbert's gone.
I'm not saying
they can't bring them both back.
I don't know that. Well, but you're assuming things that you don't know either.
Well, I'm making assumptions based on
based
on what it looks like from the locker room.
Who's better right now?
Who's better? He's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Obviously,
and one is 23 years old or whatever the hell he is. 24.
Obviously, Gus Bradley doesn't agree with you.
It was 23, right?
I have no
idea. Look, I don't care how old he is. Again, it's not you. You're too caught up in about now.
I'm not too caught up in anything, Pete. Right. I'm just saying.
What have you played Gabbert for the last 6 games?
Why? Tell me why.
Find out if he has.
Find out what.
Find out if he's still whatever he's done.
Let me ask you a question, Pete. Just because you said it, not me.
Right.
Find out what he has. You don't know what he is?
No. I know what both of them are.
Okay, no.
So what's the point of playing both? Why not play the younger kid? You know what both of them are.
Why not play the guy who obviously the coach – I don't know this because I don't see it in practice.
Right.
Why not play the guy that the coaching staff obviously feels is better when you know what both of them are or you have a pretty good idea what both of them are. And obviously one guy is winning the battle because Gus Bradley – listen, I believe if it was equal – in practice, then Gus would go with the younger guy in Blaine Gabbert. But obviously it's not.
Well, what we don't know is has Blaine packed it in?
I don't know.
We don't know that. I mean, there's always that theory. Once you get benched, you come back, and you're sitting on your butt, you pack it in.
And if that's the case, then
then Chad Henne should be playing.
Well, not only that, but it says if that's the case, and I don't know if it is or not, that tells you a lot about the guy.
Well, remember the question. The question was, is there any value to him
and
getting
Pete
back
just told
in the game?
Me no.
Oh, there is value to
what?
Him playing. He's 23.
I don't. You didn't. So he's 23.
And he's under contract next.
How old's Chad?
I have to go look. I don't 30? Know.
30? No, he's not 30.
28, 29?
Yeah, he was a pick the same year that Jake Long was the first round pick. He was a second round pick.
28. He's not even 30 yet.
It's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Okay, my point. That's my point. So what do you so. Someone has to tell me what the value – give him the book. Oh. I mean, golly. Someone has to tell me what the value –
How's that for a book?
I know I'm number one. Someone has to tell me what the value is. Why everyone's so anxious to get Blaine Gabbert in?
It's not anxious. It's just that he's a 23-year-old. Well, first off, he's got 5 years less experience, okay? Right?
Five?
True.
I don't think Chad Henne's been in the league for 8 years. Pete.
How long has Chad Henne been in the league?
He's got 6 years.
This is six years, so he's 3 years less. I mean, right. Really? Well,
that's not
you act like Chad
that's
Henne's
good.
Like.
That's not good for Chad Haynes either.
But you act like Chad Haynes an old man. He's not an old man.
That's not good for Chad Haynes either if he's been 6 years.
He's 28.
Okay,
28. That's a young guy for the quarterback position.
All right, so in other
so
words,
you have no,
in your
you have
grand
no
scheme
reason.
Of things, Blaine Gabbert's gone, done, finished.
No, you're missing my point.
Why put him back in?
I see no. If your reason to put him in
is to find
out what he is,
not to find out, not to find out what
a little bit laughable to me. And so at this point,
so why are you playing Henne? Because you're going to win with Henne?
Because I think
you
I'm
think
not, listen,
you think Henne gives a better
there.
Shot. You think he gives a better
shot? I'm not
shot?
There. I think obviously the coaches that watch this that are probably leaning towards playing Blaine because he's the first round draft pick of the franchise and he's younger and all the reasons you say. They obviously see him on a daily basis, have seen the body of work in the games, saw the body of work, sees how the team reacts to him, and they see all of that with the proclivity leaning towards Blaine because he's younger, and they still go with Chad. So I'll go with them.
Is there any difference?
Yeah, I think Chad's better.
How much better?
I don't know.
He's not any better. 6-1, half dozen the other. They're the same guy.
You still have not
and
given
maybe,
me any
now
reason.
Now, maybe
You've
what
given
we
no
don't
reason.
Know is what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know if Blaine packed it up. You know, we don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know that. He doesn't know that. Maybe they know that and we don't.
I know this. I'm winning this argument again.
You're not winning the argument.
I think
you know
so.
What? Wait. If you're the only guy that gets on the airwaves here.
Because you guys are all populist and afraid. To, I mean, listen, I just
afraid
call
of what?
I don't know.
Yeah. Afraid to mix things up and try and change.
Well, Pete, no, you say it because you're not very. I think you're a little bit ignorant in this topic.
Why?
Because I don't think you really know what you're talking about.
Because Chad has played so well and rallied the team to one victory that he should stay in there for the next six games. That's why? Are you kidding me?
No, because you can't give me a reason to go with Blaine Gabbert.
Why not? That's a good enough reason.
Why not?
6-1 and one the other.
Obviously.
Why not alternate them every other game then?
Obviously, you've never had teenage kids. Because if your son came to you and said, if I said, son, why are you doing that? Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Well, guess what? I'll tell you why not. I'm going to beat you.
It would depend on what he's doing.
Why not, by the way?
Why not?
Give me the reason.
Because I think Chad's better right now.
You do. You think Chad's better?
Yes, based on what I've seen on the field.
I think it's maybe marginally better.
Okay, let's say it is marginally better, Pete. Why would you not go with the guy I'm basing it also on this. I believe what Gus Bradley has said from day one is it's going to be a competition. We're going to play the best guys. Blaine Gabbert got all the benefit of the doubt as the guy going into the season. He's had three starts. He's got banged up. He hasn't finished games.
Which is reason enough to put him in.
He's back healthy now. We've had a bye week. We've had time away. He's had time to win the job in practice. He's had time to rally and to do things. And the guy who's all about competition in this organization, who's the head coach, who leaned towards the young kid who was the first-round draft pick for so long, is now going with the veteran, with the guy who no one else wants to play, or I don't know if nobody, but the guys in this room that come in here don't want to play. And so really my biggest argument is if Gus Bradley thought Blaine Gabbert was better, then that's who would be playing.
All right, you get the final word on this because we're done.
Was Brunell better than Berline when the Jaguars put him in that year?
Yes.
He was.
I believe so, yes.
Well, a lot of people didn't. And they put him in anyways because why? Because they wanted to find out if he was the long-term answer, and they did. Okay. Now, Blaine, if they already made that decision and he's a problem off the field, then that decision's made, then that's fine.
How many starts does Blaine have?
This year?
No, overall.
27.
It didn't take you to know 27 starts that Brunell was the guy.
All right. Well, they must know then, and if he's gone, then he's gone. Then it's done.
Well, I don't know. And listen, I'm
not making
that decision.
Why not play him every other day, every other game, Tony? What would that hurt? Seriously.
Well, that's right.
I forgot they're trying to win games.
All right, my bad.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You don't care about winning games.
No. They got the one pick now.
Loser.
That's the copy facts face-off. And what would it be without each side claiming victory? News is next, and then 90 more minutes here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Tonight at 7 on CBS 47, Jeff Lagerman and Brent Martineau have Jaguars All Access with special guest Russell Allen, who played pretty well yesterday.
Outstanding.
Had a pick taken.
I'll say this. A lot of guys on defense played well. We'll talk about that as soon as I declare how I was victory last.
Do you really want to? Can we save that for the second hour?
Sure, we'll wait.
You're not sure, a little too ahead of yourself there, dude. You really are.
What's topic two? Because I got to get to this idiotic
thing. We talked about Gus and Cecil. Yep. So, you know. Let's go to this one.
Here are our top three. I can't go there until I know what the quarter ad of the time for in time Times Union costs.
Wait, it's somewhere, for color.
Yeah, $1,400 for color.
That's not color though. I need black and white. Probably about half of it.
Between $5 and $7.50. I mean,
Joe, what do you think? You're a pro.
No, their ad rate here is a little hard to read the way they got it scheduled. It looks like it could be as little as $150
for a quarter ad,
depending on how long you buy.
No wonder. Newspapers are going out of business.
When I buy my $500 ad for I own Tony Baselli and Copy Facts Face Off, so I'd let you know what it costs.
All right, so here are our big three. Number one, Gus and Cecil today. Gus Bradley reacted, and Cecil reacted to Cecil Short's comments in the locker room yesterday. We'll talk about missed opportunities and, again, more of the Tim
Tebow.
What
missed opportunities are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about, and let's go right to that since we didn't talk all that much about it. You know, the Jaguars' special teams and defense did a pretty good job for a run there in the second half, really towards the end of the second quarter where they pinned the Cardinals deep and they got field position back for the Jaguars at the Arizona 42, at the midfield stripe at the Jags 42, at the Arizona 42, and they couldn't convert on third down. So they missed opportunities with field position to make the game closer.
Well, offensively, it was not a very good day. And watching the tape, let me give you some numbers that I did a little research on. I was digging deep today, guys. 58 plays, the Jaguars defense only gave up approximately about 168 yards. On eight plays, They give about 220. It was all big plays. And the biggest was the 91-yarder. If they tackle, I believe it's a different game. I mean, that was inexcusable. Three or four guys had chances.
Who are you blaming that one on? I want to hear blame.
I mean, the first guy you got to blame is Josh Evans. He's a free safety. He's closing in, unblocked, sitting there. You got to make the play.
Right.
That's the first guy. Now, there's other guys that are culpable once after that happens. But defensively, I thought this team improved on Sunday. They were outstanding against the run. They were fast. They had great gap control. How often have Jeff and I have talked about on these weekly shows that guys just don't get off blocks? It's like they have Velcro on their chest. They did a great job using their hands, getting off blocks, gap control. Backers were coming downhill. I thought the guys who filled in, JT Thomas, Lotulelei, both did good jobs. Russell Allen going in the middle. Some coverage issues on the tight end that weren't great at times, but overall I thought played well. Cyprian, that's why they drafted number two in the second round. He was a stud on the field. He made one play. He came up, read the run, came from about 8 yards deep, never broke stride, hit, I can't remember if it was Ellington or Mendenhall, in the chops, drove his feet, basically picked him up and planted him where it was at. It was like, wow. And made some plays on the edge, fighting through blocks. Best game I've seen him play.
That's not the concern with him, though. The concern with him is in the coverage.
He was okay in coverage.
Yeah, I thought he was better.
He was fine in coverage.
Just on the TV game, I looked like
he was fine.
Better.
No problem with coverage.
And I was sitting in the down in our green room down there with his agent, one of his agents.
He's
down
a good player.
We were talking about him.
Listen, you can't give a big place, and they got no turnovers. Now, one of them was taken away by the officials, which, by the way, was the worst officiating game ever.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Hold on.
I shouldn't say the worst. I've been part of worse, but it was bad. But the offense could take advantage of it. I mean, you had a short field the entire second half, and you can't score a point?
Right.
Come on.
Let's talk a little bit about the run defense in particular, because the last 2 weeks they've gotten better, and that's what I want to talk about, is where this team can get better over the second half of this season, the final six games. Gus had this to say about what he has seen from the run defense the last 2 weeks, holding Chris Johnson down 2 weeks ago in Nashville and then yesterday what they did against Ellington and Mendenhall.
I think what you're seeing is guys taking care of their responsibility and then doing a little bit more. Doing a little bit more. I think they're playing their gap. They're using their hands. They're shedding, and they're coming back out. And, you know, they're not just saying, I'm in my gap. I did my job. Who made the play? Now they're in their gap. They did their job, and they're going to the ball to help out on the play. That's the difference that I'm seeing.
It's interesting what he said there. Now, obviously, Coach and I are on the same page. I think I said, I mean, he thinks like myself, or I think like him, either way. But one of the things that was
out. Somebody out there is wondering, is that a good thing or not?
I'm not sure right now. I'll tell you in a little bit. I thought it was outstanding how they pursued to the ball. And we talked about that during the game.
Yeah.
On the screens, on the toss sweeps, getting outside. As a unit, they were outstanding. And hats off to two guys in particular, one for pursuit, one for coverage. Jason Babin, I thought, was outstanding. He hustled his rear off and was making plays, chasing stuff down. He had a very good game, and then Alan Ball in coverage was dominant.
All right,
they went away from him.
You bring Jason Babin back?
I don't know. That's a great question.
His cap number is about $6.5 million.
Yeah, it's a big number, and maybe if I get a reduced rate, I think he's good for the room. I think he's good for. I think guys like him. He's a veteran. He gets it. I think he's pretty selfless in his approach and his play. I just don't know how much he has left in those legs. If you watch him rushing the passer. At times, it looks like
doesn't
the leg.
Give me anything. He got even anything from the rush and the pass.
But he plays hard. So maybe if you can
I'll be honest with you. I didn't like carrying the hair to the sideline. Thought that was a little tacky.
He didn't carry this. Threw it on the middle of the field.
Yeah, well, he pulled it out of there like it was a trophy.
That was great.
You
loved
really,
it.
You really like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Rip it out. You're going to let that hair flow. It's
well, rip it out
game.
And put it on the ground.
He did. He held it up.
He was like,
victory. This is
I think I heard that it was sticking to his glove.
I don't care what
That's
it was.
Crazy.
It was awesome.
He brought it up like it was
good.
A trophy.
I like it.
Really?
Yeah, they only rushed for 14 yards on 24 carries.
Yeah, I would have pointed to the scoreboard.
Well, guess
peek.
What? I'd have pointed to the barber. Go get a haircut because you're going
to
look like an idiot now with your half your dreads gone.
All you're about is winning. Point to the scoreboard.
I like it.
So look.
I like the moxie. Rip him out. What's your problem? You're so inconsistent.
I would have ripped it out too, but I would have left it there for the guy. Go pick it up. You put it up like your trophy?
Yeah, and threw it down. It was right there. It was like on the 25-yard line.
It
was still there, probably.
I like it.
It seems like.
What are you going to give it back to him? Here, paste it back in? What is this, like Velcro?
They went and got it. Did you know that?
And what do they do?
Send it back to him.
They put it back in.
How do you put it back in?
Somehow, some way. I don't know. They got it back.
I guess it's woven in. I don't know.
The Cardinals came and got it. You didn't know that? They came and got it.
Somebody got it. They put it in a bag and sent it to him, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Are you serious?
No, WOKV's been running the story today.
I need somebody to call in who has dreads and explain to us how you, like...
The rest of the audience will just turn it off.
I just want to know. Aren't you curious?
Well, I don't know.
Are you curious?
Somebody tweet you how they do that, then.
I prefer to hear it verbally, but if... aren't you curious? How do you...
Like, I'm not, but like I don't... People get weaves all the time.
But they ripped a couple pieces of hair out of mine. I'm not trying to weave it back
Brian
in.
Cut but his was it real hair? A long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He looked
yeah. Oh man.
He looked like a good and bizarre.
You couldn't grow enough hair to get dreads.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
You're thin.
Oh,
you're
very
thin.
All right. Hey, can I get a word in real quick here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, why not?
Real quick. Yeah, thanks. We got about 4 minutes here, and I want to get this topic. It doesn't appear like the offense is going to have that much opportunity to get better this year, right? It just doesn't.
I don't know where they're going to make plays.
But the defense, it looks like there are enough young guys playing, especially in the back end. And you use the word stud when talking about Jonathan Cyprian. You know, when you talk about getting better, that appears to be the place, that and special teams, where this team at the end of the year can look back and go, we went from here to here. Is that, do you see it that way, or am I wrong on that?
No, I think they're getting better. I
mean, you know, where there's room to really show improvement.
But even if how do you measure how much better they get? But let's say they're 32nd right now, and they end up 25th. So they jump 7 spots, whatever that means. I mean, at the end of the day, does it mean anything? They're still going to make drastic changes on both sides of the ball.
Agreed. And I'm not looking necessarily at jumping from 32 to 27th. Even I'm looking for when you watch the tape for you to say. This guy. That's what I'm looking for.
But I believe that's on offense too, though, Brian.
Okay.
Because I want to see Austin Pasdorf continue to get better. Listen, I mean, I could see him being the right tackle next year. I want to see Denard Robinson. Why is he not getting any carries in the game? I want Todman getting more carries. I want to see Ace get off press and do a better job. And so I want to see all the young guys get better, not just defense. And so I think
Well, I didn't say I don't want to see him get better. I said that's where I think we will see
it. But, Tony, your evaluation isn't in terms of better, isn't numbers going from 32 to 25.
It's how you measure it.
But not even guys who are not going to be here. You measure it based on guys who are going to be here who are getting better. For example, if you don't think Jason Babin's going to be here next year, and we have no idea if he is, doesn't matter if he's getting better. It has no bearing on what's happening in the future. But Jonathan Cyprian getting better? That's important. Dwayne Grotz getting better? That's important. Josh Evans getting better? That's important. If Lulelele can go in there and play and maybe be a guy who can stick around,
well,
then that's important. But as far as the unit as itself getting better, in your win-loss grand scheme of things, maybe it's important. But in the big picture, it's not.
We need a break. But before we do.
Win-loss.
Before we do.
Like there's something else besides winning. I love Pete.
2 years from now.
All right. You know what? You talked just long enough for my guy Mike, who was going to talk about dreads, to hang up.
He hung up. Come on, Mike, call back.
Against my better judgment, I was going to put Mike on the air to talk about dreads at the risk of losing our entire audience.
They love it.
Instead, he has left, and we move on. And remind you that Bueller's Swiss is the official watch of the Jaguars. You can grab one at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. We're talking about the officiating when we come back on Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Well, you can go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They are a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We're saving the whole ad thing, Tebow thing, for the next hour. Yeah, we only have 6 minutes, and this is going to require a little bit more time. But what I do want to hear is from Gus Bradley about the officiating. And, you know,
Gus can't say anything. It's a problem.
Well, A, because he would get fined.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's not his nature anyway. Although, you did see on the TV how angry he was yesterday.
I like seeing that.
When it was fumbled by Pat Peterson and it was recovered by Will Taufo'o and it was given to the Arizona Cardinals. Here is today Gus's comments on the officiating.
It is a passionate game, you know. What I do appreciate about the officials is this. I do appreciate them allowing us to speak freely and to challenge things. And I do appreciate that, and I appreciate their communication. There's always going to be calls that maybe you disagree with, but I do appreciate their communication and allowing us to demonstrate how passionate we feel about some of the calls. How about that one? I didn't even have that one written down.
I love the way he finished it. He let you know he wasn't happy with it, but he wasn't going to go get fined for it.
Yeah, he's smart. He can't say anything. I can say it, and I don't care. They can't find me. It was awful. It was an awful officiated game.
And it got worse as it went along.
The punt was terrible. Then the Jaguars have a big play when they're down two scores. Down 10 to Maurice Jones-Drew, and they call holding on Cam Bradfield. It's not holding. He never hooks him. He doesn't do anything. He just falls.
You're talking about the one on John Abraham.
He just falls on him. I watched it. End zone, sideline, watched it all. It was an awful officiated game. And then, to top it all off, my friend Jeff Tripoli, nice guy, makes a call that has never been called in the history of the NFL, and I would like to congratulate him on that. We're going to pick up the flag because it was not holding because the defender ran through the holding call. Never heard that one before.
Well, and you failed to mention the worst one as far as I'm concerned, and that is that Russell Allen steps in front of that pass and gives the ball. The Jags are down 10. They give the ball to them point-blank range, and all of a sudden, here's the timeout. But did you see anybody call timeout?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I thought that was the worst. I went, talked to one of the people in the replay booth, and they said the official clearly starts running in, waving his arms. He doesn't blow the whistle, which makes no sense. Blow your dang whistle.
Right.
Because everyone would stop. But he does come running in before the snap,
didn't know that.
According to the replay booth.
But the rest of it was awful. I thought, Gus, that was as angry as I've seen him the entire year. Am I wrong about that? On the field?
No, he gets pretty fired up. He just does it.
He does get fired up, but it was the first time that he had been so demonstrative in an official's face.
Right.
And he was.
Yeah.
He was.
Happy.
About the punt in particular, though.
That's the one.
I mean, how did Patrick Peterson establish control with one arm in the pile?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Could you see that?
It was a horrible call.
It was the worst call ever.
It was a bad call. Bad.
It was awful. And that caught that was game changing.
Well, sure, because you're getting the ball point blank range.
They would have settled for a field goal.
You don't know that.
Well, wait. It's awful hard to argue with it, though.
I can argue that they scored two touchdowns the other times they were down there.
All right.
Right? They were two for two.
They didn't score.
They were 2 for 2, Pete, in the red zone that day.
Was it 2 for 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Only got there twice.
Yeah.
14 points. Simple math, 2 for 2. For you Arizona State grads, it's difficult.
I know what it is.
That's high calculus.
Wait, 14 points. How long was the play to Noble?
62.
They weren't in the red.
One for one. How about that?
How about you might want to rework your USC math?
One for one.
Nice.
Right again.
But guess what? 100%. 100%. Whether it's 2 for 2 or 1 for 2. 1 for 1. What's the difference?
So I guess 67-yard touchdown business comes to the red zone now.
Yeah. Well, it was a long red zone.
So the whole field is a red
fourth
zone.
Fourth down.
Of course, Tom calls it the green area. Doesn't Tom still call it the green area?
Who knows?
Yeah, he always did. It just yesterday just defied logic, and that was the hard part for a lot of Jaguars fans because they saw
it was awful.
Tafo fall on the ball. They could see that John Abraham had fallen down.
How hard is it to make that call on the fumble? The guy falls on it.
Did you watch last night's game at all?
Yeah.
First half.
Officiating was all out of control, I thought. Flags flying everywhere. That crew is called. There's been, I think, three games with 20 or the, five games
they
with call, 20 plus.
They called it in a manner that would be impossible for Kansas City to win the game because they did not let the corners
get.
No, I'm not. Denver's better. I'm not saying that. I'm not. Relax. I mean,
but they called it on both sides bad.
No, but it was. But that benefits Denver more in the way they want to play.
True, but they call a lot of grabbing and holding on the corners.
It benefits.
But that
Denver.
crew has called. There's been five games with 22 penalties this year or more, and they've done three of them.
Hey, real quick, before we break here for news at the top of the hour, what about the story coming out of Washington with Roy Ellison, the umpire accused of insulting and using bad language with Trent Williams, the Redskins offensive lineman?
What kind of language?
Well, I don't know.
What's that mean,
language? I don't know, but this is not, according to Mike Pereira, this is not the first time that this has been an issue.
Yeah, it's not a word you can't use. It's just, it's not a slur of any sort.
Can I say something?
It's a curse word. And we're going to get on this topic because
I've had enough.
So angry with this. Now the investigation in Miami has shifted to the line coach, a former Marine, because of his language. Could you imagine if Mike Mazur was around now?
Oh
my God!
Whoa!
All
right. Well, then we won't
back up.
We won't
back up.
Did Mike Mazur say some things to you guys?
He never said any poor. He was a model citizen and never said one bad word.
He used the Queen's English in the meeting room.
Sure he did.
Our broadcast is brought to you by PRI Productions. We break, then continue with Pete and Tony on Jaguars Monday after this on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here's our number two Jaguars Monday, highly anticipated. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Said it right for the second straight week.
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much. Getting there. Tony Boselli. No one says that I can't improve over the final six games of the season. Tony Boselli is here as well. You can join us 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Our big story tonight is the Cecil Shorts comments. And Gus Bradley was asked immediately about his wide receiver's thoughts post-game yesterday. Here's his response from his news conference a few hours ago.
My concern would be this. If he was trying to drag other guys down with him, now I have a concern. Now I have a concern. Now, with that being said, let's not make this a habit. You know, let's not make this a habit where everybody has free rein to say those things. You know, we don't want that. So with that, I would appreciate if he would, you know, be smart about how he handles those things. But I do understand the competitiveness in him, and I understand that he had an opportunity and he wants the ball. We want that mentality.
All right, and to his credit, Cecil Shorts stood in the locker room today like a lot of players might not feel they should do and answered the rebuttal and had this to say about his post-game comments.
I'm not trying to start anything, nothing like that. I'm not that type of guy to rave, you know what I mean, like a Brandon Marshall or something. I'm not that person. I just want to help my team when I'm a competitor, and that's all I'm trying to do.
All right, so
can I say something I didn't say earlier about that? And I like Cecil.
Yeah.
But you can't say those comments and then say I'm not that type of guy to stir things up, because when you make those comments, you stir it up.
He just said he wasn't Brandon Marshall.
No. That was like the far extreme. He used like the worst. He used somebody who's had major issues of off the field and saying things to like make him look better. I mean, that's like the classic what people do is like, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as the mass murderer.
Well,
and so my point though is Cecil has to be careful. I like that he's competitive. I think he's competitive. I like him. I think he's good for this team. He's good for the locker room. But if you say that, you're going to be known as the guy who stirs things up.
All right, so
that's just the way it is. So you can't have it both ways.
The one thing we know is that after the game yesterday and then today, after both men had spoken, they had not spoken to each other about this. So I have a sense that maybe that's going to be expressed since we already decided that you and Gus were of like mind.
We think.
Right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, look, if you missed that statement about 20 minutes ago, you missed one of the highlights of the radio show this evening. Our second big story on our big three was missed opportunities. You know, folks, yesterday the Jaguars, because Brian Anger was brilliant. I mean, he was terrific. Six times he pinned the opponent deep inside the 20. 9-yard line, 10-yard line, but it was punt, punt, punt. The 2-yard line, the 10-yard line, the 3-yard line, the 16-yard line, punt, punt, punt. The Jaguars offense, when they got it back, couldn't do anything. They were punting it back. So it was missed opportunities, and Gus talked about that today.
I felt like our defense gave that opportunity. I think the defense player, I thought the special teams gave that opportunity. I think it came back down to it. In those situations, we didn't capture them.
All right, so there you go. The Jaguars did not take advantage of the opportunities with the short field, and obviously the 27-14 outcome was that. All right, so there's two of our big three. The other
we've hit on those.
Yeah, well, that's I was setting it up for those folks who were just joining us.
I'm just saying, but this is
playing radio here.
You're doing well.
Yeah, thanks.
You're getting better.
Well, you know what? It's all about getting
much better.
Better
than the start of the game yesterday. If I don't want to bring that up.
Well, by the way, did you hear that? You didn't hear about this, did you? Do you have the clip?
I can't help myself
of my call on the 62-yard touchdown. Get the one you played for me this afternoon. Okay, so yesterday
I have a feeling I'm screwing up in it.
No, you're not. Yesterday, Pete. Danny Noble just came on the roster. I mean, I saw this big body catch this pass on fourth down, and I started calling Mercedes Lewis.
Right.
Well, did I?
And he looks at the front.
And it's play action. He's back to throw. And he's got a man. He's wide open to the 50. He's on the run to the 40. He's going to the 30. Turn it up, big boy. He's at the 20. The 10. Bites to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Did I get that wrong?
First NFL catch ever.
It's amazing.
And he broke a tackle at about the 10-yard line to score. That was a great play by
Noble. I said Mercedes' name once. I don't think I got that wrong.
It's amazing, the magic.
Amazing how much better I got.
Did you edit it?
Oh, and Joe edited the heck out of it.
Let's hear the original version of it.
All I did was I said Mercedes twice in there. So that NFL Films can use it at the end of the year. You did an amazing job. So I got better.
I was like, wow, that sounded really good. I didn't recognize
it. You know what, though? When I first saw it sitting there?
You thought it was Mercedes, too.
We all did.
Everyone did. Because you saw this big-bodied guy catch, and he caught it like Mercedes did. Kind of awkwardly, you know, on one leg, and you know.
Mercedes wouldn't have caught it.
Awkwardly.
Well, I mean, Mercedes catches a lot. Don't get me wrong, but Mercedes catches a lot, kind of falling backwards and catches himself. You know what I mean? I mean, he doesn't always catch it cleanly and running.
Okay.
I'm just an observation.
All right, fair.
But then he turned it up the field and he ran, and until Joe said to me, he's whispering Noble, and I'm thinking who? Right? I mean, that's just where these guys are this year.
It looked like Mercedes.
So I just want to point out that I did get better from when I said it to when Joe edited it. And I'll take credit for that.
You should. Okay. All right. Now let's get to
the big one. So this morning, I open up the sports page. And here it is. Dear Mr. Khan, mustache, signed Tim Tebow, and we will fill the stadium. Signed, the citizens of Jacksonville. And I thought, I know about three people who are mad that they just unilaterally put the citizens of Jacksonville.
That was misrepresentation
of me. It should say the Tim Tebow crowd. But are
cult.
You, okay, cult, right? How many were out there tonight?
Eight, maybe.
Right. Here's what I want to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to you guys to just tee off. The Packers are playing with Scott Tolzien, an undrafted third-year player who was in San Diego and Oakland, was on their practice squad. They elevated him. The Bills are playing with Thaddeus Lewis. Well, they were until yesterday. Manuel came back yesterday. How about the folks in Tennessee, right? They've got Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. They need a backup. They go sign John Skelton, who's been sitting on the street. 32.
Want to keep it going?
Yeah, keep going.
How about Matt McGloin starting for the Raiders?
Yeah, right. Exactly, and they have a running quarterback.
How about Tool, who started for the
Jeff Tool.
Jeff undrafted. Tool started for Buffalo, undrafted.
Right.
McCown picked up off the scrap heap, now starting
for the Bears.
On and on it goes. Case Keenum was third-team quarterback when the season started. On and on
so
it goes.
The point
Look,
is,
it's done
there are
32 over.
NFL GMs, and none of them want him. Why can't these people do something smart with their money?
I give it to the Pasadena Foundation. Listen, if you want to waste your money on this junk I just want to share a thought.
Please.
And a message to the people that are wasting their money with these ads and their time, I think. And listen, it's America. You can spend your money on whatever you like. But at the end
you have to buy some things.
We have to buy health care. But besides that, you can spend anything else you like. But at the end of your life, you're going to sit down and you're going to have to be accountable for what you spent your money on. And do you really want to say, I spent maybe hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on an ad that will make no significance in anyone's life? I mean, why would you do that? What's the point?
Why is it here?
I don't
know. Why here in Jacksonville?
Because he grew up here, yes.
Okay, I mean,
this is misrepresentation. I would like to hire a lawyer because this is not from the citizens of Jacksonville. I am a citizen of Jacksonville.
It's from the cult citizens of Jacksonville.
So who's behind this?
By the way, there's not the only thing.
Do you think they're listening to
some
us?
Some Claude who owns campers and stuff. I'm not going to name him, but he put
he
put two billboards up with the same kind of message.
Listen, billboards are expensive. They're about $3,000 a month.
Well,
that'd help kids.
Yeah,
Foundation. Go to Foundation.
What I don't understand is what
you're doing all right right now. People start thinking.
Let's just say for the sake of appeasing this, whoever put this in
whoever wrote this that misrepresented myself, I'd like you to call and explain
why
you're wasting your money.
Tony, let's just say for the sake of appeasing these people that they signed them for the next 6 weeks. Okay?
No, I'm not going to even go there, Pete.
What would it accomplish? Would people go to the stadium to see him standing on the sideline in a Jaguar uniform?
I want to know.
Would they?
Joe, I think we have a caller. Maybe it's the guy who misrepresented all the people in Jacksonville.
Am I wrong about that, Brian? How many people would buy tickets to see him standing on the sideline?
Well, at least eight. I got eight.
do you know, look, and I try to explain this, I mean, to
God
people.
God bless those people who sit out there every day. I mean, they must have nothing else to do.
I said, why do you do that? He said, because I like
coming
out here.
Here's the interesting part. Here's the interesting part. Wouldn't you say that there are a great number of casual fans, right? I don't want to insult anybody, but lots of the soccer moms where my kids go to school at St. Paul's Catholic out at the beach, a lot of them will say to me at a school event, well, why not? Now, these are not ladies that understand the game. They love it, right? But they don't understand it. And when I explain it to them, they go, oh, well, it just seems like, you know, everyone likes him and everyone would buy tickets, and here's my response. And every time they go, well, I guess you're right. And that's this. How long will people buy tickets to watch a specific player hold the clipboard on the sideline? Two games? Or just one?
None. None.
I don't think it moves the needle one bit.
If there's such a big uproar about getting him signed here, why is there only eight people out front? They had a rally. The biggest they had was 50 people.
Tampa's another one. Tampa's another place where they got rid of Josh Freeman. They could have brought him in.
Nobody.
And they have empty seats everywhere.
He's done. It's over. It's, look, it is what it is. He was a great college player. He had some kind of magical run when he got in there.
He's a great guy. I hate doing this, but I'm tired of these people.
How do you know he's a great guy?
Well, I mean, my interaction with him, every time I've interacted with him, I think he's a great guy. What? I've enjoyed it. Talking with him. Being with him.
You're taking
him
down another road entirely.
I don't know if he knows. I don't know. Who knows if
you don't know. I know him. I know his family. I think they're nice people. Yeah. I mean, you are a miserable person.
I think he does some really good things for people. I think that's fantastic.
Well, he's a nice guy. I like
that
him.
That doesn't make him a nice guy. He does good things for people.
I've met him. I mean,
that qualifies nice.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
You are just.
I'm not a hater.
You're a bad person.
Has nothing to do with anything.
What do you mean?
Being a nice guy has nothing to do with football.
I didn't say it did.
No,
I'm just saying he's a nice guy.
But see, you're not.
Were you talking to the microphone, please?
You're not saying it is, but these people do. These people do.
Well, I know we've already determined. Is this one of the guys who bought this ad?
I don't know.
Let's hope so.
We're going to put Jim from the West Side on.
Jim, did you spend money on this ad?
No, I told the gentleman who answered the phone call that I wasn't part of the ad, and I wouldn't spend any money on it. I really wouldn't.
Are you a citizen of Jacksonville?
I wouldn't do more than really call in for free to a radio talk show to discuss it. That's about how much effort I would put into it. But my point is, there's a football reason and motivation behind why people are pushing for Tebow.
What is it? Enlighten me.
The fact that before Peyton Manning was released from the Colts, the Broncos, I think it was John Elway, but the Broncos organization announced that they were going to make Tim Tebow their starter the following season, which of course didn't come about. He went to the Jets. And so he was good enough for the Broncos. There's no way that the Jaguars could do worse with him. It would have been a movement on the part of the Jaguars organization to respect the fans. There are many fans. I'm one of many fans. I know my wife and I are. That's two. Who are very turned off by the organization.
Okay. Whoa. Let me take this one.
No, I got it.
Jim, let me ask you a question. Last year, were you following the situation when Denver decided to trade Mr. Tebow? You were following the news at that point of the situation, were you not?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, so at that point, he was two teams. The New York Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars made inquiries about trading for Tim Tebow.
They made offers.
They made offers. Basically, the exact same offer. The exact same offer. The report was from John Elway, who has no reason to lie in this situation, that he gave Tim Tebow the option of which team to go to. The Jags or the Jets?
Yes.
And he chose who? The Jets. So I don't know why you're mad at this organization. You should be mad at him. When he had an opportunity to come here, he didn't want to.
And then lied about it.
And then.
And then lied about it.
So now we move on.
Oh, wait. He doesn't do that.
Now we move on. He went to New York. The New York Jets were one of the worst football teams in all of football last year. They were absolutely awful. Their quarterback was awful. They ended up going to Greg McElroy, who I don't think anyone really thinks could play in this league, before Tim Tebow, because they decided, and the GM lost his job for bringing Tim Tebow in. They decided he can't play quarterback in this league. And then he went to the New England Patriots. And he was cut from the New England Patriots. So now you're asking the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in a rebuilding mode, who have quarterback issues, no doubt about it, to sign the one quarterback in the NFL 2 years ago when he played for the Denver Broncos that had a lower rating than the quarterback we have, one of the quarterbacks we have here. Sir, please explain to me how it's this organization's fault and how it makes any sense in this entire universe to now sign him.
If Mr. Tebow expressed that he would rather not come to the Jaguars, then, you know, I'd heard that before, and you're bringing it up again, and so I am sorry to hear that. I'd like to see him here. I would like...
Why would you like to see him here if he can't? If he's been cut? I mean, if
he's not any good.
The reason I would like to see him here is because the Jaguars organization shows year after year after year that even when they even when they decide differently from the fans' pressure, that they still don't pull off a postseason, a playoff season.
Sir, in all due respect, you sound like a wonderful gentleman, but you're making no sense right now. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? I mean, why would you sign a guy who had the lower quarterback rating? He had the lowest quarterback rating in the league, I believe, that year in 2000.
I'm not convinced that he would have done poorly just because he had some successful games in Denver.
Why didn't it work? Why wasn't he a starter in New York?
I don't know anything about what New York did with him.
Why didn't he make the team? And
if he's so good, if he's a starting quarterback in the league, why didn't he make the Patriots?
The way I understood the Broncos was that they were...
The Broncos
couldn't wait to get rid of him. The only out they had was to sign Peyton Manning. They were thrilled that Peyton Manning was available. I know that for a fact.
Who, by the way, was coming off of neck surgery at age 36.
They didn't care.
But he cost so much more than Tim.
You know why?
And all the jerseys and all the Tebow mania, they threw out the window as fast as they could.
But there was only one escape hatch from the disaster that was Tim Tebow. And it was Peyton Manning, and they were thrilled to get it. If Peyton Manning couldn't play, they didn't care. It got him out from underneath the other guy.
I just hate. See, my problem with this whole thing, and Jim seems like a nice guy.
Sure,
and I liked him. Pete's a bad person.
No,
I don't know Tim.
I don't care about Tim,
like
the guy.
Him.
I care about football.
I hate that I have to have this conversation and bring up facts. Because it makes Tim look bad. And Tim has nothing to do with it.
Those people are hurting the guy they're trying to help.
I have said this for 2 years now, and you can go ask other people. The biggest harm done to Tim Tebow are the Tebowites. The people that just incessantly make claims.
Yeah, but if he could play, Tony, they wouldn't care about that either.
No.
The bottom line is, you don't think... If he could play...
Oh, no, if he was a stud?
Yeah. They wouldn't care.
No, but...
If he could play in the league and start in the league,
But here's the thing. But him being a project, nobody will bring Tim as a project and to see if he can get better because the disruption and the distraction that he becomes on a team, and even happened in New England to some level, it's not worth it to a GM for a guy who... I'm not saying he can never be a quarterback.
He can't.
But needs a lot of work.
He can't. He can't read defenses. He doesn't understand football. From the time the concept is told to him on the sidelines, from the time he gets to the field, he can't process the information.
Okay?
Is that a problem?
Yes!
Oh. All right. We're done. Literally, we're done. We did our segment on
Citizens of Jacksonville, unite!
By the way, I wonder how many people would not come to a game in protest of them signing Tebow.
Right.
I think that would be a pretty significant number. We'll take a break and come back here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, we got lots more to talk about. I don't want to carry this Tebow thing too much
further.
We're done.
I do want to say
I feel bad for the people who were listening to the show. Not to that yet. We'll get
to
that.
I got some issues with the
paper,
too. We'll
get to that.
Can I make comments about the paper?
Do you really? They're going to be writing comments about you, then.
That's okay.
All right. I just want to point out, I feel bad to all those people who are tired of the issue.
I'm trying to move on. You keep on staying there.
Let me finish a thought.
You know what, though? You're right, Brian. It goes away.
Were you speaking to the microphone?
It's dead. It goes away, and it's dead. And then it comes back
with
something
like this.
But here's the
thing. Years from now, we're still going to deal with the issue.
I'm sitting over there next week.
Fine with me. I don't care. Just relax.
No.
Just sit down. So I got some information now that needs to be brought to light.
Oh, wait, first you're mad with the paper.
Let's go back to that.
Why?
So I've always had an issue with this Monday morning quarterback. Always. since the time I was a player. And God bless the people of Jacksonville. I'm a big Jacksonville guy. Love Jacksonville.
Me too. I could live anywhere.
I mean, this is home. I mean, the finest place in the United States to live is Jacksonville, Florida. Without a doubt. The beaches, the river, great people. But I swear, some of the people that ride into this Monday morning quarterback.
It's unbelievable.
It's unreal. I want to know, again, if you're a Monday morning quarterback rider, you can call on this show and tell me where you come up with this, because here's my favorite one, and there's always a couple good ones that are so nonsensical that you wonder if.
So that's good in the facetious definition.
You wonder if they were, like, drunk when they wrote this in, because can't you write it in at any point of the night?
I think it's nighttime.
Yeah, it's nighttime. Right, so there's no telling what's going on.
Go ahead, read one.
But my guy from Middleburg, Hunt. Why is our defense so soft in the middle? Teams seem to get 10 to 15 yards at will. Hunt, they only gave up 14 total yards in rushing. There was no soft part of the defense. That makes no sense.
Only when they threw the slant.
There is a Tebow in there, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This is my other one. Why the heck don't you recruit Tim Tebow? Number one, this is not college. You don't recruit anyone.
You would tangle a contract and come running.
Dave from Sarasota. You're brilliant. You have no clue. How much worse can you get than you are now?
Worse.
At this point, what do you have to lose? Everything. So there's just a couple. And then the other thing is my good friend Gene Fournette, who I think is a fabulous individual. I mean, just fabulous. You know, he does his grades.
And are they fabulous too?
And who am I to judge? But
oh wow!
But he gave the defense a D+. Would you give the defense a D+ after giving 14 yards rushing? So this is the way I look at it. So if the run game was an A, 14 yards is like an A+.
Okay.
Would you not agree? Maybe even extra credit, like 105% on the test.
Okay, I'll go with that.
So there's, less than 1 yard a carry, you can't do any better than that. Right. And let's say the pass game was an F.
Okay, which it was.
So it's like a 50%. It was just bad. So 50 and 100, I think 105. If you average that, that's a 75, correct?
Yeah, roughly. That's 105 drives it up a little bit.
But let's just go 100.
Okay.
No extra credit. That's a 75. That's a C+. C, at least. Middle C. How do you give him a D+? I mean, it makes it nonsensical.
I don't know. As a guy, I used to do grades.
I mean, you used to do grades all the time.
But they left out a category.
What?
I always used to give the offensive line a separate grade, remember?
I didn't always appreciate it, but I do remember that.
Yeah, I did. There was a couple other grades.
Did the defense play D+?
They're better than D+ yesterday. But they did give up 400.
They gave up a 91-yard touchdown.
No, they gave up 27. They gave a short field. They got off the field.
No. They were better than that.
They
were
1 for 12.
Probably a.
They are 1 for 12.
C-minus. Close to a D.
Here's where they were.
No, C.
The
minimum C.
The Cardinals started 4 of 4 on third down. They finished 5 of 16. So they were 1 of 12 the rest of the way.
They played well. They had one bad play in the second half.
491 yards.
It's misleading.
That's probably a C- or C.
I say at least a C. I give a
the
C+.
The offense?
Offense was bad.
I think you could give it an F.
D was a little nice.
Do you know?
I'd have gone D-.
John McClain,
so I don't want to be
in his grades in the Houston Chronicle this morning, gave a bunch of F-, which I had never seen.
I don't know if you can get F-.
I used to give the offensive line in Jacksonville F- once in a while.
Did you?
Yeah, they didn't like it.
I just want to talk to Gene.
That went right over his head, by the way. He wouldn't even listen.
I listened. So, Gene, not bad, but. You got to look at the defense.
By the way, Case Keenum,
so what's Gene's grade for his grades?
I give, if I was grading the paper today.
If you were grading the grades.
I'm going to grade the whole paper.
Wow.
The letting this ad in, but it's a moneymaker, I get that. But that's
you pay you
get,
for it, you got to put it in.
You get minus points though for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, that's their job. They make money doing that.
They got the Cecil Short stuff. Was that all
that
over
was
the
good.
Place?
Good.
Was that all over the place, or was that just them?
That was good. They did
that's
a good
probably
job.
Ryan and Hayes.
Ryan does a good job.
Yeah. Ryan's excellent.
Although this picture of Ryan is embarrassing to me in the paper, but he does a good job
it's
overall.
A bad picture.
He does a good job. The grades, though, let's just grade the grades. I'll have to give Gene a B. I mean, he really blew the defense.
Well, and you're giving him a B still?
I'll give a B because
he got everything else right.
No, I'm going to give him a C because I think he was too nice on offense. Too tough on defense, too nice on offense.
So a C+?
Yeah, I'll give him a C+.
You know what? I'm
good
really,
pictures, though.
As the
pictures are good in the paper, so I'm going to move that up.
So you're giving the post-game Jaguar section and the TU an overall?
A.
Wow.
Gene, it was an A+ until Gene drove it down.
By the way,
with his grades.
As a guy who used to be the beat guy, I love this Cecil Short stuff. That's the kind of stuff I used to always
go
you'd
for. Oh, you'd be feasting on it.
Oh, I would have gone even
You'd be
worse.
Like a little rat crawling around the gutters.
What do you
of the
think about it? I would have come to you afterwards. What do you think about it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think off the record if you want to use me as a source.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Why do you make that up?
That's
you can use me as a source if you want. He's right!
Not a lot of things bother me, but that bothers me. That
is as good a coverage. That is as good a section as this. As
they've
the
done
Tom
a good
Junior's
job.
Yeah,
Ryan and Hayes
are really, really good. And you know what? I had dropped my subscription to the Times Union, and I picked it back up again. That's my copy. I had that delivered to my house today.
When did you do it? Because I just picked my
Because Ryan O'Halloran grabbed me and said, have you seen this section back during the preseason? I go, I don't even subscribe. He goes, I can't believe that. I subscribed on the spot.
You know what? With this section right here, I might have to move Ryan up to the second best beat guy in the history of the covering the Jaguars.
Oh, he's number one with me.
Oh, no, he's not number
behind
one.
Behind Vito?
No. We used to have this argument with Michael Wright all the time. Michael Wright's way down the list, I tell him.
All right, we're due for news here. We've gone way
There's
over.
Only one number one. You know that.
Whatever you say, buddy.
You're listening to News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Crisco.
Can't silence me forever!
I won't silence you forever.
I'm being censored, Joe!
You're not being censored, but I do want to touch on this topic. Three teams from the playoffs a year ago, one that had home field advantage, the Falcons and the Texans and the Vikings, all are two-win football teams right now, which I think has to surprise a lot of people.
I'm so shocked by I didn't think the Vikings were a fraud last year.
Why were they?
Well, Adrian Peterson had his
year. He had Adrian Peterson.
You have no quarterback, you're a fraud.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, you're right. Chiefs.
I was surprised that I think Chiefs are okay. They're 9-1. I'm surprised that the Falcons and the Texans are as bad
as
they are.
Well, the Falcons have had as boatload of injuries.
I'm just saying.
You lose Weatherspoon, Bierman. Now Weatherspoon's back now, but you lose Weatherspoon, Bierman, Julio Jones.
And when you lose Julio
Sam
Jones,
Baker. I mean, you lose all these guys. They all go down. You got problems.
Realistically, when you lose Julio, you're losing like five draft picks because that's how many they gave up for him.
And a big chunk of that offense. You know, Roddy White's good.
He's slow.
But he ain't Julio
slow
Jones.
Down.
So we were talking about report cards. This is the Houston Chronicle and John McClain, who I know you know very
he's
well.
Very good.
And he's covered football in Houston. Since way before the Texans.
He tweeted out during the game that the Jags would be favored coming to Houston this week.
He gave them an overall F- yesterday and said this was the worst performance in franchise history. And obviously he's been around for that.
He must have forgot some of those expansion years.
Well, I mean, so in the interesting part is, look, this is not pot calling
so
kettle black. We expected the Jaguars to struggle this year and to not be very good. But this Texans team, I think a lot of people thought, well, maybe this is the year they get over the top. And boy, do they look like they're in trouble right now. I mean, real trouble.
Yeah, and the thing, okay, the quarterback situation's a mess. And
so is running back, too. Arian Foster with back surgery.
I thought he made a major mistake yesterday in pulling Case Keenum.
By the way, he's going to start
He's going to start this week against Jacksonville. But the rationale being he wasn't prepared for the no huddle, and they went to the no huddle. He's been in this team for come on, why isn't he prepared for the no huddle? I thought that was a major mistake. And then at the end of that game, I don't know if you guys were in the booth, you didn't see it. There was a Schaub threw a fourth down throw. First off, it was fourth and goal from the two or whatever, and he threw a pass to slant to Andre Johnson, and he was going to get tackled short of the line, but there was an illegal procedure penalty, so they moved it back to the seven. He ran Johnson in the back of the end zone. He had double coverage. He should have gone somewhere else, and he threw it like 10 feet over his head. So Johnson must have said something to him, and Schaub said something to him, and you got in a shouting match on the field. Johnson walked off the field before the game was over. That, to me, and I know Andre Johnson doesn't say a lot to anybody. He's born in a class act of the league. But you don't do that. You don't leave your team.
Wrong.
You don't leave your field. You don't leave the team.
Well, and
out
then
there.
Yesterday the story was, do you want to be traded? Do you want to be here next year?
And his answer was, I'm under contract. He didn't say no. He said, I'm under contract.
But things that have happened to that team. The offensive line isn't as good as everybody thought it was going to be.
No, but we all knew that.
Schaub was bad.
I missed that.
DeAndre Hopkins.
He's a good player.
Benched him yesterday because he doesn't do the right thing all the time. That's a problem. He has a problem going to the right place. Defensively, you're a 3-4 team with J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith as down players, You should have pressure from your edge players, and they don't.
They're
get
no
it.
Good.
They're not. That's a problem.
And losing Brian Cushing, the injury hurts.
He's the heart and soul of that team.
So where do they go going forward? Cushing's coming off an ACL. They still don't have the pass rushers.
No,
they're up against
was
their
off
salary
an ACL
cap.
Last year, he and had he's, another. What, this year is what
ACL
and again?
Yeah. And he's a $16 million cap hit because of the way that contract is structured. So you can't cut him. And the cap next year is projected to be about $122 million. And right now, as it stands, they're like 118.5. So
they paid Ed Reed $5.5 million.
That
they don't
was
have
a mistake.
They don't have a lot of room to try to fix some of these things, which makes it interesting.
And with Arian Foster coming off the injury, knows he's you know
that's a back that's major.
Plus they beat him up. I mean, he carried a lot. He threw over 350 carries or something 3 seasons in a row or whatever it was. Ben Tate's a free agent. I mean, they have issues. That's a team with issues, First and foremost, the quarterback issue.
They
might
a lot
draft
of money.
Johnny Manziel right from down the road. He'll put butts in the seats. They'll have rallies for him out front.
He might be a good player, though.
I'm intrigued by Johnny Manziel. I have to admit that.
But are you intrigued enough to think of him as a top 10 pick?
No, not that
second
intrigued.
Rounder.
Really? You think he falls that far?
No, but that's where I draft him.
Okay. You know, somebody made an interesting point to me that if you draft Johnny Manziel, you have to build an offense around him. Which means you need two of him. Because how many Johnny Manziels are there?
Couldn't he be Russell Wilson?
I don't know. Russell Wilson has a completely different demeanor.
And
Russell Wilson has an IQ off the charts.
Right, yeah. And Russell Wilson's a little thicker than Johnny Manziel.
A lot thicker.
Yeah.
Tall, though.
Teddy Bridgewater's not thicker.
This goes back to the issue. I've been silenced for long enough, and the people must hear the truth. After
your version
selective
of
truth.
It.
Whoever did that for you, I looked at your list.
I have my own.
No, you didn't do it.
No, I have my own group that provides.
Well,
me
they left out some people off that list. By the way, I looked at it.
So Pete last week was saying that the Jaguars should throw the season number one pick, and I said winning is the most important things, and Pete says winning doesn't matter. Anyone with any common sense understands that Pete's an idiot when he says stuff like that. But I have proof to back up the fact that Pete doesn't know what he's talking about, because Pete's whole argument is we should get the first-round pick. It's so important. Let's get the first overall pick. So I did a little research and had my crack staff dig into the numbers, because it's about numbers, Pete. Since 2005, that's 8 first-round draft picks. So from 05 to 12, 5 of the 8 are not on the active roster of the team that drafted them. The 49ers drafted Alex Smith first overall. They wanted him so much, they decided to give the job to Colin Kaepernick.
And they traded him for a second-round pick.
Mario Williams, first overall pick in 06. The Houston Texans thought they really needed him to get over the top. They let him go in free agency.
The salary cap was completely maxed out.
Got nothing for him.
They couldn't sign him.
Got
he got $100 million in the Bills.
They
couldn't keep him.
They got nothing for him. He's not on their roster. Jamarcus Russell. Need I say any more?
Yep.
Jake Long. Dolphins. Not a very good team. Not a very good offensive line. Let him go because he's just okay. Sam Bradford.
I don't think
anybody in here thinks Sam Bradford is a
franchise
quarterback. He's on IR. The number one picks overall since 1990.
Why don't you go to 89? Why did you leave 89 off that list?
Yeah,
I wonder.
90.
Why did you leave 89 off the list?
The number one
overall. How about 09? How about Matt Stafford?
Of the number one overall pick since 1999.
Andrew Luck.
The only player to have gone to a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him was Alex Smith, and he didn't even play in it.
Okay, great.
Picking number one overall doesn't guarantee you anything.
Can't talk your way
Eli
out of
Manning
this.
Was
Thank
picked by
much.
San Diego,
Thank
but he
you.
Went to the Super Bowl.
All right, let's talk about this. Let's go to 2007 where the Raiders had the first overall pick. Now, if they had taken Calvin Johnson, who went number two, would you doubt that that was worthy of the number one pick?
Oh, he's a tremendous player.
Yes.
How many playoff games?
They screwed it up. They took the wrong guy.
How many playoff games have the Detroit Lions?
They're taking Joe Thomas.
How many playoff games, and the Cleveland Browns for that matter, the two players that were drafted next, have they been in with those two players?
All right. You want to keep going?
It's about creating a culture.
Troy Aikman win some 2 Super Bowls? He was picked first in 89. Did he win some Super Bowls?
Yeah, only because.
Is Peyton Manning any damn good?
The only reason.
Was Eli Manning win Super Bowls? He was picked first. Is Cam Newton any good?
He's not – no playoff appearances, Pete.
Is Matt Stafford any good?
One playoff appearance.
They're not any good.
Here's the point. The point is if you've got that pick, you can't screw it up. And we can go back through the first round
picks. You have
the
second pick, you can't screw it up. You have the third pick, you can't screw it up.
The Detroit Lions are playing pretty well right now. They've got Matt Stafford throwing the ball to Calvin Johnson.
You wouldn't rather have your choice?
I'd rather win.
Well, win big. Win a game isn't winning.
I'd rather win.
Well, I think the point that you have to look at, though, is where you're at.
My point is go look at those number all those teams that picked number one. How many of them are winning now?
Do you think Dave Caldwell will
blow the pick? How many are winning right now?
So they had bad people making the picks. Dave Caldwell's going to blow the pick in your mind?
I didn't say that. No.
Well,
that,
but my point theory, is. Your theory is if they have the number one pick, they're going to blow it.
Brian, give
based
me
on your theory,
the last
blow
10
it.
Years.
You don't think Dave Caldwell's any good.
The last 10 years, tell me the team's picking number one.
Okay, so, including this year, 2013 or 2012?
2012, because it's too early to tell.
Andrew Luck. The Colts.
Okay, that's worked out well.
That's
one,
easy.
But people have called once in a generation type of player, correct? Am I wrong right about that? I would even, as much as I like winning, if Andrew Luck was coming out, I'd say lose them all. That's how good he is.
Cam Newton, he's got a team right now. This is his third year. Third year.
Okay, I'm just saying.
He's got a team
played very well.
The defense has played.
He's not this year. I'm talking about in his career.
The defense is carrying
very well.
That team. Right. Cam's not playing very well right now.
He's playing well enough.
Pete,
he's not carrying the team.
Don't lie,
but he's playing
Pete,
well enough.
Don't lie.
Well, look at his numbers. He's playing well.
Do you know what? We Carolina, can dice.
Okay, but look, Carolina, Cam Newton's not a good pick.
Okay, what?
Cam Newton's not a good pick.
I'm actually a Cam Newton fan.
Oh, he's a good pick.
But it's still too early to tell.
Okay. All right, keep going.
Sam Bradford.
Carolina's never been to the playoffs since they've drafted number one.
Third year.
Okay.
Sam Bradford.
St. Louis, fourth year. Nowhere. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
again, I could look at where they screwed it up.
Hold on,
the
keep on going.
Should have taken.
Matt Stafford. That
now. I'm asking who picked number one.
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford, no 9.
One playoff appearance.
He's not any. But Tony,
in 5 years.
Trent Dilfer won a damn Super Bowl, so Brad Johnson. What the hell's that got to do with anything?
Because my point is, it's not about getting the number one pick. It's about picking the right guy no matter where you are and creating a culture.
But it's a lot easier to pick the right guy if you have the number one pick. You pick who you want. You're guaranteed of picking who you want. So basically what you're saying is
if you don't
Jaguars,
want that pick, you're guaranteed of having an opportunity to try to move.
I think Dave Caldwell's good enough.
Dave Caldwell's outstanding.
Well, then if he's going to have one pick, he's going to pick the right guy?
It's more about building something and creating a foundation and a culture,
culture
of winning.
Culture's gone by the time the season's over.
You're wrong. That's what you know what? That right there was the most ignorant statement you've ever made on the show.
Over.
Means you don't know anything you're talking about.
The team that won that one game, there might be 25 of those guys back next year. So the culture.
Well, Kansas City's culture was downright.
They got a new coach.
Because
they got a new coach.
Well, and the new coach came and brought Alex Smith.
But no, the new coach.
And Alex Smith has really helped them win.
All, that offense is not why they're winning, Brian.
But he's playing well.
Until last night, they only gave up seven. They haven't given up more than 17 points.
They haven't played anybody. Played five,
the defense
five
is the, I'm not saying
it's the same defense that was there last year.
Five,
they
backup,
got a, they
five
got,
backup quarterbacks.
They got a coach who created a culture.
Oh, it's not a culture.
Yes.
No. Okay. Oh, wait. A coach can create a culture, but a win in – do you think any of the wins that the Chiefs have will carry over to next year?
Yes.
Oh, they will. So the win that Jaguars got two weeks ago will carry over to next year if they don't get another one the rest of the way. No. That's it. I'm just asking you a question. The win they got 2 weeks ago will against Titans will they get no more the rest of the way. That one's going to carry over the rest of the year.
I
considering 20 players on that team might be going forward. That's
but
it.
But I'm worried about those 20 players, yes.
Do you know why I think that the number one pick has value? This year in particular. Last year didn't as much because it was a couple of offensive tackles and no one wanted to go up.
By the
this
way,
year,
we ended up getting the best player anyways.
This year, you have a pass rusher at the top and someone will covet that pass rusher.
I think you're early on that.
Well, no, I don't think I am. Well, that guy's really good.
So far has been Sheldon Richardson or Star Lulele.
Oh, I agree. Great player.
Right.
So we
need
a break.
Best player.
We got to take a break.
No, the highest. He was the highest rated player in the draft coming out.
We'll take a break. Come back one more segment with Tony and Pete here on Jaguars Monday. All right, we got a couple minutes left here. And Pete, you just got a tweet you want to share?
Yeah, your numbers from T. Fish Jacks. Your numbers don't matter. Tony Baselli, do you not want Caldwell to have the ability to pick the guy he wants? Prisco is right again. Again, did you see the again part? Hear the again part of that?
He's looking through his Twitter to see if he's got something to throw back at you.
Again. I like that. That has a nice ring to it.
A lot of stuff about the whole.
Do you know? And the reality of it is, look, the reality of it is, we saw in the offense yesterday. I mean, this team is going to be in contention.
Stay away. Got that right.
This team is going to be in contention for the number one pick the rest of the way. You can't help it. They're going to be near the top. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's.
But again, we asked this off the air. If the draft was right now, Jaguars have the first pick.
I don't know who
pick one guy. Pick one. Who do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I
don't know either. It's hard. You can't. There's not a guy.
Well, and we said, and I'm not saying this is who the Jags would take, and I'm extremely biased. But, I mean, one of the most dominating players in college football is Marquise Lee for USC, and he's a tough kid. He's injured, and what he's AJ Green. He's 6'3", 2'6", 3'.
AJ Green was a fourth overall pick.
He's 4'3", track star. I mean, he can fly, great body control, catches the ball. I mean, do you take a guy like that?
I'll tell you what.
I mean, I don't know where he's going to – now, it all depends what he runs, but if he runs what is reported
well, – most people had him as a top pick before he got hurt.
Blitnikoff Award. If he would have come out last year, he might have been the first overall pick.
But Tony, there are so many – I mean, you look around the receiver group, you got – the Watkins kid who can fly.
Yeah, but he's not very big.
No, but he can fly. You got the Evans kid who's not as fast.
But do you take the big guy who can fly?
I like Lee. Yeah. I like Lee a lot. But I'll tell you what.
No, but there's a lot of them.
The guy that – and I don't know what year he is. I'm not even sure he's draft eligible yet. But the guy who has caught my eye more than anybody this year is 44 on Nebraska. Is it pass rusher?
I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, my God. God, he's a JUCO transfer.
Well, then he's obviously at least a junior, Pete, if he's a JUCO transfer.
You can leave after your freshman year.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah, JUCO?
Yeah, you can.
Sorry,
so,
I apologize.
Tony, if you get a chance, if we could find some tape of this kid, people think Clowney is the guy. I'm not sure this kid isn't, just from watching him. And you know,
what's his name?
I forget. Morgan, Shane, I forget. But I watch his games. I just sit there. On Saturdays, I'm flicking back and forth. I'm, like, astounded how good he is. And the other kid is the true freshman at UCLA who plays linebacker and running
Mac
back.
Or Jack.
Oh, my God. He's a great linebacker. He's a great linebacker, too. So, you know, but
I don't know who everyone, you know, says there's all these quarterbacks out there that, I mean,
there's more big guys. This draft has a bunch of great offensive tackles again this year. How about the linebacker for UCLA that is coming out this year?
Anthony Barr.
Yeah. He's another pass rusher. He's better than Clowney.
Yeah.
Is he like the guy in in Denver?
Von Miller.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that kind of guy.
Probably bigger, though.
A little bigger. Yeah, because some people think he might be able to play with his hand down. Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone's pointing to quarterback or, you know, that particular kid USC.
The quarterback's deep enough this year, you might be able to get a guy at the top of the second.
Right, like a McCarron. And then if it doesn't work out, then you go draft Winston with the first pick the next year.
Absolutely.
Well, there's lots of options. And I guess that's what we're saying, is it being at the top of the draft. My belief is this. It's easier to get to the top from the bottom the way the draft system is set up than from the middle. You understand what I mean?
But isn't it pretty safe to say we're going to be at the top?
Which is why this conversation is so easy for me, because we're going to be there anyway. I mean, it just is what it is.
I just guess I'm different than you and Pete. You and Pete are okay with losing. You have loser attitudes at times.
Oh,
I'm not.
Stop. What are you talking about?
I understand where the team is.
Oh, I see
I'm
this one now.
I'm a winner.
Did you win this morning at the place out at the beach where you got that biscuit that you were talking about? They're not advertisers, so I don't want to give it up. But
oh, it is so good.
Yeah. Winner, right?
I'm a winner.
Get that one.
I'm a winner.
It's brand new out at the beach. I'll get there tomorrow. But it's.
I'm not. Don't. They're not. Nope.
It's right by St. Paul's.
It's
right there.
You gotta earn it. You gotta pay
it's right there.
Randy Gregory is his name, and he's a junior. Wow.
Where did he play JUCO ball at? One of the California schools or one of the Kansas schools?
I think he's one of the California schools.
All right.
But I'll tell you in a second. Yeah, junior.
Best tweet of the night. Stevie Henriksen. Pete says you should lose to get the number one draft pick, but then you ask him who to pick, and he doesn't know.
Well, because it's
that is beautiful.
You have 4 weeks.
You got a four-month
process.
You don't know. You're saying lose, and you don't know who to pick. That's beautiful. It's not shocking to me at all. Who's going to win tonight, Pete? Carolina, New England.
The kryptonite for Tom Brady is a four-man pass rush, and Carolina can do that.
I think Carolina wins.
I do, too.
First of all, I think Carolina will win for two reasons. One, I think they rushed the passer, and they're outstanding at defense. And two, ever since Vince Wilfork, and I said this, you and I argued about this, is they can't stop the run. Patriots can't stop the run. Right up the middle, they get gashed.
I disagree with you. I think it's going to be that pass rush that does.
Well, it's both. I'm saying it's both. You got to be able to stop the run. I'm told to wrap it up. I guess we got to go.
All right, guys.
Gregory,
have a great night.